This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru Art Chung. And now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Soon we'll find out which one of our contestants, Brian or Stephanie, will be today's big winner. But first, it's time to welcome our special guest. You know her as Nikki Nichols from Orange is the New Black, and she is in three new movies, Anti-Birth, The Intervention, and Yoga Hosers. We can't believe she found time to be on our show. Please welcome Natasha Lyonne.
Thank you. Hello.
Welcome, Natasha.
Thanks very much.
We're obviously very psyched to have you.
I'm thrilled to leave the house.
You've been leaving the house constantly. Three movies coming out at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, you have said yourself that you have done your share of bizarre projects. Is there any in your vast filmography that stands out as the most bizarre?
Oh, I think this Anti-Birth is about to take the cake.
Really?
Yeah. It's a very, very strange picture. And this is me promoting it. It is one of the weirder movies I've ever seen, I've been involved in.
The premise is that you are a party girl and you go out on like kind of an insane bender.
First of all, I feel like party girl is a complex term in our times. Because to me, you say party girl, I picture somebody who's like with a real will to live, right. Dancing on a table,
right.
Lost, glitter,
partying.
Spray tan, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just picture like somebody who's like, yeah, we're going to party or whatever, which is not what this person is. This is like a real self-destructive, living in the middle of nowhere, nihilistic, like no reason to go on kind of a party animal.
Party girl.
You know, and less party, more just an animal.
Right.
But still, it's very funny.
Right.
And it's a great time.
Okay, so the character uses drugs. Lou uses drugs, alcohol, and going out at night to hide the pain.
Not even. I mean, I don't think it's a secret. I don't think there's a lot of hiding happening in Lou's life. And she's pretty much just walking around. Yeah, what is she doing? Cleaning the motel room. She finds pizza, eats the pizza. Maybe there's a cigarette butt in the pizza. She's like, oh, look, half a cigarette. That's what she's up to.
Okay.
When we meet her.
And then one night, she kind of doesn't remember how extreme the night went.
Yeah.
And becomes pregnant with a demon.
It is. It's sort of like if it was Sam Kinison instead of Mia Farrow in Rosemary's Baby, is what ends up happening. And but with all the same sort of sensitivities, you know what I mean?
But it's true. People have described the premise as being similar to Rosemary's Baby, but completely different because your character, Lou, is not willowy Mia Farrow leaning on her husband and freaking out. She's like strong and...
like Rodney Dangerfield-esque. Like, trying to figure it out. I really am a big fan of the movie. It's not a perfect movie, but it's definitely the kind of movie that I believe in.
But just to be clear, Anti-Birth is premiering on the same day.
Uh-huh.
As Yoga Hosers,
which
is a Kevin Smith comedy horror film about two girls who
That's my genre.
Yeah, clearly.
Just excited.
And they're fighting Canadian Nazis in the shape of sausages.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you're going to see both, should you do Yoga Hosers first and Anti-Birth second?
Or... Excellent question.
Yeah.
Had not thought about it. What time? What time is the day starting?
Let's say you're starting at 2 p.m.
2? Yeah. Do you think you're going to need an afternoon nap?
Probably.
Here's my only concern about seeing Anti-Birth second is that, like, I feel like if you decide to take, like, a midday nap, then you're like, I don't want to leave the house again.
Good point. Right? All right.
So I mean, I feel like usually I like to leave the house once. And I like a day-to-night getup, a sensible shoe. I always carry a spare pair of panties.
Smart.
Sunglasses and prescription glasses.
Right.
And Nicorette and cigarettes, lighter, backup lighter, Metro card, $20, Amex, Visa, ID. And so I would suggest, you know, that sort of a strategy for the day.
That is like a travel guide the way. So even though you're doing this like over the top, like horror film, are you constantly aware of sort of the political implications of doing these kind of strong female roles that are almost like right now we're seeing more of them, but they used to be rarely seen?
I appreciate the compliment. I wish a lot of the movies were better is maybe what I'm saying. I think that maybe certainly their intent
Sure.
Had its heart in the right place often. Like, Slums of Beverly Hills is like a great movie that's a great movie that's a great movie. I wish they were all Slums of Beverly Hills, but they're not. You know, it's hard to make a great movie. So anyway, I feel like that I'd be better suited to fit that description if I'd made, you know, like 19 of those. But I guess certain things just like don't appeal to me, but also I don't appeal to them. Like, it's a mutual thing that's not even on purpose.
Right, so then yeah. You find the right fit. And,
yeah, and I just think, I mean, like, certainly in the case of this movie, The Intervention.
Right, with Clea DuVall.
Yeah, that Clea DuVall...
female director and writer.
Well, but she's also like an actor who was like, you know, like most of us are kind of, you know, I mean, there's like five movie stars and then the rest of us are kind of these like character actors that sometimes, you know, have a moment or something like, thanks, Orange is the New Black. I'm like having another 15 minutes and I'm very grateful. But
yeah, The Intervention is a group of friends who come together, couples, and they are giving one couple an intervention about their marriage that they should break up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that a real thing? Do those kind of interventions happen?
Yeah, I mean, more and more all the time.
You know, I was at an event a couple years ago in San Francisco where they screened, couldn't believe it, 1999 film, But I'm a Cheerleader, for a huge audience there. It's about an all-American cheerleader who is sent to a kind of rehab camp because her parents and friends suspect that she is a lesbian. And in 1999... it was received in one way. I mean, I watched it a couple of years ago with a huge crowd, and I feel like it's received a totally different way. Have you sort of experienced the growth of its audience?
Yeah, I had that. Yeah, I mean, it really holds up. It's just got so much heart, that movie, and it, at the time, just sort of, you know, off but special. You know, you said that her parents want to send her to this quote-unquote homo rehab, as they say in the movie, and I mean, what's so interesting is that she doesn't want to go because she doesn't think she's gay.
Right.
She has no idea what they're talking about. And in many ways, it occurs to me now that that's sort of a lot of what's changed. It's like, speaks to that being such a different time that, like, would Megan in, you know, But I'm a Cheerleader 2016, she would, you know, sort of probably be aware that she was gay if she was, you know, like 17 and in high school. Remember, like, the Sarah McLachlan and, like, the girls, the models... in her locker and just like ogling like Michelle Williams and really like into the ladies, you know, and has no self-awareness about it because it's like feels like such a outer space idea that she could possibly be gay. So, I mean, I think that's very good news.
It is good news. Yeah. In a recent article, I read that you're not only an avid reader, but you demand to read the longest, thickest, most intimidating books out there.
What do you mean, Thomas Pynchon?
Yeah,
I mean, because really, Against the Day is, I think, like the only giant book I've read. These days, though, what am I reading? Twitter?
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, let's be honest. But yeah, once upon a time, I was a big time reader. That's tragic.
You dropped out of NYU and used the tuition money to buy an apartment in New York City when you were 18, 19?
No, more like 17, probably.
17?
Yeah.
So how does a 17-year-old buy an apartment in New York City?
Shady attorneys.
Really?
.com.
.com.
The only school I applied to was Tisch. I was like, I'm going to be a film and philosophy double major. You know, I'll, like, think about some things, write them down, make movies. That was my plan. Then what happened is I was, like, reading the Times. And then I saw it was, like, Gramercy adjacent studio. And even 17-year-old me knew, I was like, look, kid, I had to say to myself. I was like, this is a knockout deal. This is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. You want to go to, what do you want to do? You want to go to NYU, sit with a bunch of kids, watch Apocalypse Now, pay 60 grand a semester? What do you want to do here?
Or buy an apartment in Gramercy Park.
Yeah, so I adjacent. So that was it, the full kahuna. I put into the apartment, bought the apartment, you know, and dropped out of school.
Yeah. Natasha, are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes.
All right. Natasha Lyonne, everybody. Natasha, we read that you lived in a house that Herman Melville once lived in. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. Google it. Maybe my parents were lying. But anyway, that's what they told me.
Okay, so in your game, Jonathan and I will read descriptions of real authors' homes, and all you have to do is guess whose home we are talking about.
Very good.
And if you get enough right, Sydney Malatesta from Cincinnati, Ohio, will win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
And if you need a hint, our puzzler Art Chung is standing by. Okay. You won't find a Juliet balcony on the simple house built in the 1500s in Stratford-upon-Avon, where all the world's a stage.
Okay. Okay, so if it's not Shakespeare, then something's wrong.
That's right. Right.
Okay.
It is Shakespeare.
Okay.
It is Shakespeare, yeah.
Check out this poet's former New York brownstone. Host a board game night in the same room where she, and this is a true fact, regularly played competitive boggle games. Find out for yourself why the caged bird sings.
Maya Angelou.
Yes.
The author of Murder on the Orient Express may have been a hoarder. Her home is full of a large collection of silverware, china, and books. Her welcome mat should read, "And then there were none."
Agatha Christie?
Agatha Christie is perfectly correct.
And I haven't read a book in like 6 years. No, that's not true.
This is your last clue.
Okay. Hunter S. Thompson. Sorry, I got too cocky. And that was my fault, and I regret it. And I hope that does not go on my permanent record.
Enjoy the magical life of this best-selling British author. Her estate is next to a real-life castle and a whiskey distillery. But why leave the grounds when she's built a recreation of Hagrid's hut, where you and Daniel Radcliffe can reminisce?
Oh, so J.K. Rowling?
It is!
I have never read those books, so I was concerned. Because I thought I was maybe confusing her with the Hobbit man.
She gets that a lot, I'm sure.
Because I never say her name. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well?
I love Game of Thrones.
I know. You felt the heat of the nerd audience, and then you gave them something a little extra just to let them know it's all going to be okay.
Throw a little meat out there.
I don't want any trouble. I love Game of Thrones.
Natasha, you did fantastic. We can go to Rapuzger Archung, but I know the answer. You got them all right, so you and Sydney both win Ask Me Another Rubik's Cubes.
Wow.
Natasha Lyonne stars in Orange is the New Black and in the new movies The Intervention, Anti-Birth, and Yoga Hosers. Thank you so much, Natasha.
Thank you. Thank you so much.